ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानाधिभिसह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुरा नारकोऽधुनोदितः। Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. This morning we're reading from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 16, which is entitled The Payovrata Process of Worship, and we're continuing. With Kardama Muni's questions on text 6 today, so please repeat. Api vatithayopyetya kutumba saktaya tvaya grihara pujita jataha pratyutthanena vakvachit. Api, whether, va, either, atithayaha, guests who come without an invitation. Abhyetya, coming to the home. Kutumba asaktaya, who were too attached to the family members. Tvaya, by you. Grihat, from the house. Apujitaha, without being properly welcomed. Yataha, went away. Pratyutthanena, by standing up. Va, either. Kvachit, sometimes. Translation: I wonder whether, because of being too attached to the members of your family, you failed to properly receive uninvited guests, who therefore were not welcomed and went away. Please repeat. I wonder whether, because of being too attached to the members of your family, you failed to properly receive uninvited guests, who therefore were not welcomed and went away. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. It is the duty of a householder to receive guests, even if a guest be an enemy. When a guest comes to one's home, one should properly receive him by standing up and offering him a seat. It is enjoined, grihe shatrum api praptam vishvastam akutobhayam. Even if an enemy comes to one's home, one should receive him in such a way that the guest will forget that his host is an enemy. According to one's position, one should properly receive anyone who comes to one's home. At least a seat and a glass of water should be offered so that the guest will not be displeased. Kashyapa Muni inquired from Aditi whether disrespect had been shown to such guests or atithis. The word atithi refers to one who comes without an invitation. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Api vatitayo abhyetya kutumbasaktayatvaya grihad apujitayataha pratyutthanena va kvachit. I wonder whether because of being too attached to the members of your family, you failed to properly receive uninvited guests, who therefore were not welcomed and went away. I wonder whether because of being too attached to the members of your family, you failed to properly receive uninvited guests, who therefore were not welcomed and went away. There are hardly any comments from our predecessor acharyas on this passage from the Bhagavatam. On this verse in particular, Sridhar Swami essentially just paraphrases the verse itself. Kim va tvaya apujita eva abhyetya grihadyata. Did they go away without being properly received? Srila Jiva Goswami says nothing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says Pratyutthanenapi apujitaha. Did you not worship them even by standing up to show respect, if nothing else? If not a glass of water or a seat, as Srila Prabhupada said, one should at least stand up to show proper respect. So he's asking if this is what happened. So Srila Prabhupada, however, has said a few things here, and they're very significant. There are things that Srila Prabhupada repeats throughout his books, as we'll see in a moment. So, the first thing, it is the duty of the householder to receive guests, even if he be an enemy. You may have noticed all these verses, they begin with the words api or api va. In Sanskrit, when you begin a sentence with the word api, it indicates that it's a question. Otherwise, api means something else. So, he was immediately impressed by the fact that something was different in his ashram when he came home. After many years away of doing tapasya, he came back and he saw his wife is morose, and the place is not bright anymore, it's not looking very happy, what's wrong here? So the first thing he's asking is, was there some discrepancy in following the religious principles? What are the religious principles? He said, dharma, artha, kama, and of course, moksha is understood. So here he continues the same line of questioning. For the next few verses, we'll find they begin with the words abhiva. So did somebody come and was not properly received by you? One can question why we would not properly receive a guest. And only one of the acharyas, a relatively minor commentator on the Bhagavatam, he posits one suggestion here. Apujitam hi grihasaktya sambhavati ityashyenaha kutumbasaktyeti. With the words kutumbasaktayatvaya, he's indicating that she was attached to his house, to her house. And house means not just the building itself, but of course the family members. If there's no family in the house, then it's not really a house. So, it's almost as if the other acharyas are afraid to say this, because we're talking, after all, about Aditi. But in the previous text, Kardama Muni, her husband himself, has already told her, you are a grihameti. And here he continues this, you're simply attached to the house. Strong words to your wife after having not seen her for a few years. And by some estimations, we can speculate maybe he was even neglecting her. If you come home and find your wife in such a morose condition, and all your kids have been overwhelmed by the demons, and your house, in fact, is run by demons now, well, what are you going to feel? So, because he was a sage, he was very perceptive, and immediately he got to the point. There must be some discrepancy in following dharma. This is always the case in this material world. Any disagreement that we have, it's only a disagreement about dharma. And any discrepancy in our happiness or our distress, it's only a deviation from dharma. There's nothing but dharma here. Dharma means actually karma, because karma means dharma. Otherwise, it's called vikarma or adharma. You have two choices only. If you're not doing dharma, then you are, by definition, axiomatically, you are doing adharma. This is the point. So, what is the dharma? From the Taittiriya Upanishad, long, long back, at least this has been an age-old tradition in this subcontinent for at least 2,000 or 3,000 years. What is that tradition? Atithi Devo Bhava. In the Taittiriya Upanishad, we've heard that the description is given. When a student finishes studying from the spiritual master gives certain instructions. Satyam vada. This is the first thing. Don't lie. The earth can bear any weight except the sinful consciousness of a liar. So, satyam vada, tell the truth. Dharmam chara, do only dharma. Or chara means to go, actually. Carry on with your life in terms of dharma. This is the idea. And he comes to this instruction also. Matri devo bhava, your mother should be considered as a goddess. Pitri Devo Bhava, your father should be considered also as a god. Acharya Devo Bhava, we've heard this in Krishna consciousness every day. We're singing. Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastre Uktastatha Bhavyate Eva Sadbhi. All of the acharyas, all the saintly persons recognize the validity of this principle. The acharya is to be treated as God, even though he's not God. And then finally we come here. Atithi Devo Bhava. Atithi. And Prabhupada has explained for us, what does atithi mean? Who can tell me?
Comes without
yes. Yes, tithi means a particular occasion. People who are conscientious of Dharma, they schedule things according to the tithi. And the appropriate thing you do at the appropriate time, in the appropriate way. Yatha vidhi, vidhivat, according to Shastra. At the end of chapter 16, Krishna has told Arjuna a few things about what to do and what not to do. Who can summarize? Beginning around text number 23, 22, something like
that. If you do not abide by Shastra, then you will not have
Yes. Yes. That's right. We're all impelled in so many ways. Last night somebody asked me how to control greed. Three gates to hell. What are they? Lust, anger, greed. Somebody has a problem with greed. Somebody has a problem with lust. Somebody else has a problem with anger. I can't manage this anger. What do I do about this? You see? We're all tormented in this world. Even devatas are tormented. So, Krishna says, to avoid this, to avoid these three gates to hell, you have to be very conscientious about what you do and what you don't do. And the Shastra tells us what to do, and also it tells us at the same time what not to do. You have to have the positive and negative pervasion. This is logic. It's called anvaya vyatireki nyaya. You cover your bases positively and you cover all your bases negatively. When we are told to always remember Krishna, we are simultaneously told what? To never forget Krishna. There's no possibility of misinterpreting the instruction. This is the point. Generally, we see throughout the Shastra, whenever there is a vidhi given, or a chodana given, a command, or an injunction, there's also a prohibition given at the same time. When we come to Krishna consciousness and we take initiation into the bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya, we make vow to follow what principles? Four regulative principles we follow. That is the negative side. Don't do these four things because they are sinful. And on the positive side, what do we vow to do? We are chanting at least 16 rounds every day. So this conception of sin is something that is a little bit unique according to Vedic literature. We were discussing this last night in regards to the Apichet Sudura Charo verse. Very much commentary there by our great acharyas, predecessors. So I don't want to get too far afield here, but the principle is here. Since time immemorial, it has been a social norm, a social convention, that a guest in this subcontinent is not mistreated. It's world famous, actually. One of the things about traditional Indian civilization, because Indian civilization means traditional Indian civilization, it's one of the world famous aspects, hospitality. So, atithi devo bhava. A person who is conscious of dharma is conscious of the tithi, and he knows what to do, where, when, with whom. So, somehow or other, because we're not yet perfect, we may be impelled to commit some mistake. Here the word is used, kwachit. Kwachit means something happens, sometimes it happens. So, this is an important problem. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us some very stern instructions about this. This very, very point is discussed in chapter 26 of the fifth canto, wherein he describes a householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, is put into the hell called Paryavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. Anybody remember this? We might have been there. Purport. According to the Vedic etiquette, Even an enemy who comes to the householder's home should be received in such a gentle way that he forgets that he has come to the home of an enemy. This is almost verbatim, the exact same thing that Prabhupada has told us in this purport today. We find these things. It's like when you're in school and the teacher writes something on the board, then you can infer that it's going to be on the test. Now, what about if a teacher writes something on the board three times? Kalau nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva. This is something we also find throughout the Shastras. Things are stated three times. So then you know it's very important. How many times has Srila Prabhupada given us this instruction throughout his books? Some statistician can go through and do a word count. But this is the point. A guest who comes to one's home should be received very politely. If he is unwanted, the householder should not stare at him with blinking eyes. For one who does so will be put into the hell known as Paryavaran after death. And there, many ferocious birds like vultures, crows, and chokneys will suddenly come upon him and pluck out his eyes. Paryavartan. The very word Paryavartan suggests, well, we can translate it as what goes around comes around. So we have to be careful. There's nothing in this chapter, chapter 26 of the fifth canto, that indicates that we're talking about being careful with devotees. So if we're to be careful about this with anyone else, then what to speak of with devotees? Practically we've experienced sometimes, if someone looks at you the wrong way, it causes problems for years. It can be like that. This world is such a subtle and difficult place. Almost there's nothing you can do about it, it seems. We can be put into such circumstances wherein fate forces us to deviate in these ways from dharma. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada in his purport, he quotes from the Panchatantra. We can learn a lot from Panchatantra. Panchatantra, does anybody know what is Panchatantra? You can say it's like predecessor to the Niti Shastras or the Supashita Koshas. It's mundane wisdom, mundane instructions about how to live a progressive life in this world. And we find, actually, Srila Prabhupada generally quotes mundane Shastras about in order to guide our mundane activities. What's one very prominent example? We know that in Krishna consciousness, well, first of all, nobody can become Krishna conscious except for the human being. You have to be a human being in order to take to Krishna consciousness. Generally, this is the general rule. And where do we learn this about this from the Srimad Bhagavatam? Where does it actually say this explicitly in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Anyone know? Nice try. Not exactly. Huh? Nayam deha deha bhajan miraloke. Okay, these are all kind of implicit, you know. It never is it directly stated. But there is one place in which, one quote that Srila Prabhupada gives us that is direct about this. What does he say? Tarnamasya hina pashubhisamana. Ahara nidra bhayamaitunam cha. These are the four things that activate us in this world because we all have the animal residue upon our psychology. From God only knows how many lifetimes past, we're still infected with the mentality of animals to some degree. That's why these injunctions of the Shastra are meant to guide us. Wake up! Uttishtata jagrata varan prapina bodhita, the Upanishads say. Wake up! You're now a human being. Take advantage of it while you can. It won't last. How long do you have left? You don't know. Where, how far have you come? Who judges? These are the important questions. Akhira akela jana. In the end, you have to go on all by yourself. Tanani bhumau pashavascha goshte ityadi. You know this verse? Your money is going to stay in the bank. Your car is going to stay in the garage. Your friends will come as far as your funeral. Your body will go even farther than that. It will go to the funeral pyre. But if you have walked along the path of karma in this life, you're going on alone, and you don't know where. So, human life is a life of responsibility and awareness of dharma, the principle, beginning with dharma. What is the first thing we heard in the Taittiriya Upanishad, that quote that I gave you? First thing, satyam vada, speak the truth. And it means embody these qualities of hospitality, compassion, truthfulness, self-control, all these things. This is what we have to work on in order to be called properly human beings. And only such human beings can actually take to Krishna consciousness. So in this way, the substrate of Krishna consciousness is assimilation of the principles of dharma. I've said before, so maybe you've heard this, but we belong to which of the six classical schools of darshan? Six classical schools of philosophy. Vedanta. So Vedanta, another name for Vedanta, some of you may know, is Uttaramimamsa. Uttara means later Mimamsa. And if this is the later Mimamsa, then what is the earlier Mimamsa? Purva Mimamsa. So Purva Mimamsa actually means how to understand what does it mean to be a human being. And this is actually a prerequisite course. You cannot take the graduate course unless you have had the core credits for your degree plan. You see? So Jaimini Rishi in his Purva Mimamsa Sutra, he tells us, Atato dharma jignyasa. We're not ready to understand Brahma yet. First of all, you have to be a human being. The dogs and cats cannot come and listen to these things. They're neither interested nor do they have the acumen. They only know how to fight. My god sister Govinda Dasi told me once that she was having some problem. She had a moral dilemma, you might say. Because in the temple that she founded, along with her husband, this is Honolulu Temple, she found at one point in the history of ISKCON that there were some problems with the devotees. There was a new manager, and this manager was causing problems for all the devotees that she trained up. So naturally, they having confidence in her and her husband, they came and they were revealing their minds. This happens sometimes. So she wasn't sure what to do because the authority is saying one thing and these people are complaining about another thing. She went to Srila Prabhupada. She was fortunate enough to have that opportunity. And Srila Prabhupada listened to her case and he shook his head and closed his eyes for a few minutes. And then he said, the mouse is afraid of the cat. The cat is afraid of the dog. The dog is afraid of the tiger, or of the man. The man is afraid of the tiger. But as far as we're concerned, they're all animals. This was his answer to her situation. So therefore we say the substrate of Krishna consciousness is dharma. Satyam vada dharmam chara. And part of that, of course, as we've stated already, is this ancient convention, ancient cultural characteristic, atiti devo bhava. You should receive the guests very nicely. So, where do we find? We've heard now, what do we do if we find that sometimes we don't properly receive guests? It's not just a question of receiving them nicely. In the same fifth canto, chapter 26, there's another interesting quote wherein he describes a person is considered to be no better than a crow if after receiving some food he does not divide it among guests, old men and children, but simply eats it himself, or if he eats it without performing any of the five kinds of sacrifice. That person also goes to another kind of hell. Anybody know which one? Krimi Bhojan. As the name Krimi Bhojan suggests, what happens there? You become a worm and you eat the other worms there, and the other worms there eat you. Or, as we've heard also in text number 30 of the same chapter, we have to show respect because sometimes a superior person comes to your door. A low-born and abominable person who in this life becomes falsely proud, thinking, I am great, and who thus fails to show proper respect to those more elevated than him by birth, austerity, education, behavior, caste, and spiritual order. That person is like a dead man even in this lifetime, and after death he is thrown headfirst into the hell known as Kshara Kardama. There he must suffer great tribulations at the hands of the agents of Yamaraj. Actually, Srila Prabhupada is... the word is here used, varnashramavato, variyaso. Persons who are better situated in terms of, well, all these things. Anyway, the point is we should show respect properly as well. Okay, so we need some examples of how to do this. And the Bhagavatam, the very name Bhagavatam means it's about Bhagavatas, the devotee Purana, Bhagavata Purana. You want to know how to be a devotee? Read Bhagavatam. Then you'll see. Kardama Muni is giving his example. His first concern is not, how have you been? How are the family members? This was pointed out by Maharaj the other day. His first concern is dharma going on nicely? This is the human consideration. Arjuna P. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's primary concern was not his own personal happiness. At least he didn't frame his question in that way. What did he say? Shishyas teham shadimam tvam prapannam. How did he characterize himself in that verse? Who knows? Dharma samurthacheta. I'm confused about what is my dharma. It was his primary concern. Of course, we're always mixed. Maybe Arjuna was also mixed. At least that's the example we're told. So, all right, so we need examples. We find favorite example from the 9th canto, chapter 21, which I will read. O Maharaj Pariksit, the descendant of Pandu, Sankriti, had two sons named Guru and Rantideva. Rantideva is famous in both this world and the next. Raise your hand if you're famous in heaven. Are you famous in heaven? Raise your hand. Anybody here? Rantideva was famous in this world and in the next world. For he is glorified not only in human society, but also in the society of the demigods. Rantideva never endeavored to earn anything. He would enjoy whatever he got by the arrangement of providence. But when guests came, he would give them everything. Thus he underwent considerable suffering, along with the members of his family. Indeed, he and his family members shivered for want of food and water. Yet, Rantideva always remained sober. Once after fasting for 48 days. Fasted for 48 days, anyone? In the morning, Rantideva received some water and some foodstuffs made with milk and ghee. Balyabhog. In the morning, this is what we offer the deities. It's called balyabhog, not heavy things. Food suitable for babies. But when he and his family were about to eat, a Brahmana guest arrived. Because Rantideva perceived the presence of the Supreme Godhead everywhere, this is the point, and in every living entity, he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahmana guest ate his share and then went away. Thereafter, having divided the remaining food with his relatives, Rantideva was just about to eat his own share when a Shudra guest arrived. Seeing the Shudra in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rantideva gave him also a share of the food. When the Shudra went away, another guest arrived, surrounded by dogs, and said, O King, I and my company of dogs are very hungry. Please give us something to eat. With great respect, Rantideva offered the balance of food to the dogs and to the master of the dogs who had come as guests. The king offered them all respects and obeisances. Thereafter, only the drinking water remained, and there was only enough to satisfy one person. But when the king was just about to drink it, a chandala appeared and said, O king, although I'm lowborn, kindly give me some drinking water. Aggrieved at hearing the pitiable words of the poor, fatigued chandala, Maharaj Rantideva spoke the following nectarian words. Listen closely. Nakama ye ham gatim ishwarat param ashtarthi yuktam punarbhavam va artim prabadye akhila deha bhajam antasthito yena bhavantya dukha. I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the eight perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I only want to stay among all the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf, so that they may be freed, so that they may be freed from all suffering. By offering water, my water, to maintain the life of this poor chandala who is struggling to live, I have been freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of the body, moroseness, distress, lamentation, and illusion. Having spoken thus, Rantideva, although on the verge of death because of thirst, gave his own portion of water to the chandala without hesitation, for the king was naturally, very kind and sober. So we know the story. What is the point here? What does it mean to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respects to others, not expecting anything for yourself? What does it mean until we're tested? One of my English professor in college, he once said, your beliefs, your convictions are only as strong as your willingness to undergo suffering in order to represent them to the world at large. Now, these three guests, who were they actually? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. They came only to test him. In Hindi, there's a proverb, Tulasi is a sansara mein sabse mili abhai, kyon na jane kis roop mein narayan mil jaye. You should be nice to everyone. You should treat everyone nicely, show respect in the ways that we are enjoined here in these passages. Why? Because you never know whether the person at your door is Narayana in disguise. There's so many examples we find in our shastras. Either Narayana comes in disguise, or he sends some great soul, some great demigod or rishi. We don't know who we're dealing with. So especially in a society of Vaishnavas, how careful do we have to be? So these are extreme examples. The Bhagavatam is full of extreme examples, because we need extreme examples. Otherwise, we don't get it. Srila Prabhupada used to say, you should shed gallons of your own blood in order to deliver even one other person to Krishna consciousness. How many gallons? Any doctors here? How many gallons of blood are there in a human body?
1 gallon.
Not even 1 gallon.
7 liters.
At least not much more. So what does it mean? Practically, you have to think about it. That's why we have these examples. Now, another thing is that Rantideva said, his hunger and his thirst and fatigue were all relieved, dissipated completely by the ecstasy that he felt by serving others. Is this something we can conceive of in this material world? No. This is why Kardama Muni addresses his wife as Griha Medini or Kutumbasakta. We're in this consciousness. So how do we get out of this consciousness? It's not even very easy to emulate the behavior of such great souls as Rantideva. But we hear in the fifth canto, chapter 18, text number 12, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate suraha. Samasate, all the suras reside within your heart, and they stay there. Samyak asate, they sit there for good. This is the difference between bhakti and just shubha karma. With auspicious, pious karma, you can get some good reaction for some time. The demigod will sit in your heart for some time. But as soon as the karma runs out, he also clocks out and is gone. He's happy to go. Why should we have to live with these ingrates, the demigods say? These people are just going to go and commit sinful activity, or maybe they've never even stopped. We are only doing our duty unfailingly because we are dharmic personalities. But these people are ingrates and we don't care for their association. This is their attitude with regards to the non-devotee. So the non-devotee cannot have good qualities for very long. But with a devotee, the acharyas commenting on that famous verse say, with a devotee, the demigods appreciate his character, his selfless sacrifice, his ahaituki spirit of pure devotion. They appreciate so much that we want to stay with this person. We need his association. You see? So we get to this point through ahaituki bhakti, nishkama bhakti, selfless devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we get to that point, the prominent aspect in the beginning of bhakti, the prominent of the nine processes are, first of all, hearing, and then chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bijam dhanama dhrumasya prabhavatu bhavatam bhutaye Krishna nama. It is the seed of the tree of dharma. Dharma is considered to be like a tree. And there are so many fruits on that tree. If you have done dharma properly, you get so many sweet fruits. If you have, on the other hand, performed papa, then you get poisonous fruits, bitter fruits. So dharma is like a tree, but the seed of that tree is this holy name. If you want to develop all good qualities, it is only possible in a substantial way through pure devotional service, and that in this yuga, that is only affected through chanting Harernama, Harernama, Harernama eva kevalam, kalau nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyatha. Therefore, we hear this three times, positively and negatively. You do Harinam, 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 not Kalinam, not anybody else's nam, Harinam. And you understand that there's nothing else, nothing else, nothing else in this yuga. Okay, it's time to stop now, but Panchagoda Prabhu has a question or a comment.
When Durvasa Muni cashed in his favor with the, not even Durvasa, Duryodhana, but Durvasa Muni came with 60,000 disciples to, yes, to the Pandavas in the forest, and it was actually a ill intent. It was kind of like to catch them in an awkward situation, and Draupadi already finished her meal, but somehow or other, look and see if there's anything left. She had a red kitchen as well, that she could feel. An unlimited number of people, yes, as long as she's not eating. Anyway, the whole thing seemed a little bit of a difficult situation. Now, if I went with all my people to your husband's house, or we, you know, we have to bring all my managers and show up at your door, it seems a little bit, who gets the reactions here? Person who is not going to feed all these 60,000 people, or I mean, how does it, is this a general principle, or sometimes there's exceptions to the rule?
Well, I don't know that it's an injunction that you have to feed on the spot 60,000 people at the drop of a hat, but these examples are given to show us that we should have this spirit of sacrifice and giving, and it's not comfortable. Atithi, in particular. It's not comfortable if it's unexpected. You may be preparing to go out to do something else. Or you may already have some guests. Srila Prabhupada said that in his father's house, every day there was a guest. Every day. Every single day. And we've received the injunction from the Bhagavatam as well. The householder should go out and call. Anybody hungry, please come on over. Take prasadam. So,
in that regard, you were mentioning how Srila Prabhupada formed it with all the guests. But later on, when Srila Prabhupada was encouraged to go and see Bhaktisiddhanta, he at the same time was that he was reluctant. Because he's seen so many sadhus and to some extent cheaters who took advantage of the situation. So how can you harmonize both that, you know, it seems you have to have common sense, otherwise,
for absolutely.
Example, if you're so humble in the train station, you're going to stay there very long. Mm-hmm. Because no one's going to let you come out or no one's going to let you come in the train. So you've got to roll yourself in those trains too. So nowadays, it seems that, these principles are not always that practical to apply, even though you want to.
Many, many years ago, I was living in Dallas, Texas, and I was preparing to go to the temple early to wake the deity. So it would have been about 2:30 in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I heard a knock at the door. Who's knocking at the door at this time? So I didn't have one of those holes. In America, you have to have a little hole that you can see who's there, because another life member of ours, also in Dallas, he was watching television in his house one night, and he didn't know that you have to find out who's on the other side before you open the door. So he opened the door, and the last thing that he saw in this life was the flash of a gun in his face. And he was just, his head was blown off his body, clean off, right there in his house. So one has to be very cautious. There are certain, practically speaking, anywhere outside of the subcontinent, you have to be very, very careful about who you invite into your house. It's true. So when I was in Dallas, I asked who was at the door, and the person said he was selling candy at 2:30 in the morning. So obviously, obviously you have to be careful, this is the point. And you have to use your discretion, because the same shastra, the same group of niti shastra that advises us to be, that a guest should feel, even an enemy in your house should feel like an honored guest, the same shastra tells us, Chanika Pandit, I think he tells us, you should be very careful. Don't be so straight and simple all the time. Sometimes you have to be a little bit crooked. The straight and the simple branches are the ones that get cut down first. It's only the crooked ones remain. Yes, Vishwam Bharata.
Oh. Hello. I would like to add, what your answer is.
Okay.
Lord Ram, okay. So he always tells that you follow the maryada, means convention. But there is one thing is exception, means apatti kale maryada nasti.
Yes.
Means when you should not follow the convention, there is also maryada for that.
Yes.
So he chose while killing Bali, that he being a warrior, he used his stealth mode. So why did he use stealth? Because Bali had a boon that nobody can, half of that power what comes in front of him will be transferred to him. So the only way to kill him was from behind.
Yes.
So when it is necessary to follow, when it is appropriate to follow, to unfollow the convention, then you have some obligation like that. So you do that in that time. So, for example, Lord Ram always give benediction, but he has weapons always. You will always see that he has weapons, etc. And in every picture. So it shows that you will always have to be attentive. You should never be unattentive. You should always see what is happening.
Is this a comment, or I think it's not a question, it's a comment. Okay. Now, off of this also, in his commentary on the Abhichet Sudurācāro verse, Madhvācārya points out that these exceptions to the injunctions of Dharma, they're usually sinless in the case of demigods and rishis, but not human beings. And in the case of Bali in particular, once you get into the world of lila, then there are no rules at all anymore, because it's lila. It's not a phenomenon of this world. But this is another thing we have to be very careful of. Sudurachar, we see. For example, illicit sex. Brihaspati's wife was Tara, and Tara was kidnapped by the moon god Chandra. And even Brihaspati asked for his wife back, Chandra refused. And it seems as if Tara herself preferred to stay with Chandra as well. Now, Brihaspati wasn't exactly an entirely clean slate, because he also forcibly impregnated his sister-in-law on another occasion. You see, so we're all contaminated in this world. But for the human beings, this dharma is enjoined. And dharma is such a subtle and comprehensive and very, very sophisticated thing that we have to be very careful to understand it properly. That's why we have Purvamimamsa and Uttaramimamsa. Because in an emergency situation, like you've suggested, then another set of rules kicks in. The ordinary dharma is not going to be applicable. Then you have apadharma. There, sadhana dharma means ordinary dharma, but in an extreme circumstance, you may have apadharma. And then, as someone said earlier, there's parodharma as well. This is a transcendental consideration. Once we have taken, in all seriousness, to surrender to the lotus feet of Mukunda, then we're freed from so many other obligations as well. So, but in all cases, the dharma has to be there. Vishvampara.
Just a question. I was reflecting in retrospect from the question of Pachavaru. What about if the situation is a little bit unusual? We have a guest who is already angry and he comes to your house. You don't have a chance, you know, just to express his frustration. And you don't have a chance, you know, to greet him and give him a glass of water or whatever. Do you? And he goes away angry. You know, he just comes and blasts, you know, the house. Because I've witnessed this situation. Do you still get the reaction from because the situation is not in the host control?
Yes.
From not, you know, like pacifying him and giving a glass of water or making them feel...
Some people you cannot help. When a person is tamasic like this, anger is tamoguna. When a person is overwhelmed by tamoguna, you can't really deal with that person according to ordinary conventions, because he's disturbed. Even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, we find, who is that devotee? Came to him and was disturbed consciousness. He said, just, you know, let him... Maybe so, yeah. So, yeah, this is every injunction of the Shastra has to be understood, Krishna says, in the 11th canto, according to Desha Kala Patra, according to the audience, according to the time, according to the environment. It all has to be considered very, therefore I said it's very subtle, it's very comprehensive, and it's very sophisticated. It's a great topic, very, very deep topic.
On the previous discussion, I frequently have a dilemma when I come across beggars and they're begging on the street, especially here, and also in the US when you come across the drug addicts on the street corner, they're begging for food. So, you know, how should I go?
They're not begging for food generally, because I know. I give them food and they refuse. They want money. And what are they going to, why do they want money instead of food? That I don't know, and I'm not going to ask. But I'm going to give them prasadam.
How about dealing with beggars here?
Again, these things are described in Bhagavad Gita, chapters 16, 14, 17, and 18. Krishna describes, when do you give charity? To whom do you give charity? Under what circumstance? What kind of charity? Everything is there. And you can study the commentaries as well. So we have to use our discretion. It should be given to a proper person at the proper place and in the proper time. And for the proper reason also. That elevates one. Sometimes we do the right thing in the right place for the right recipient, but for the wrong reason. You see? That also. So all the things have to be considered. Is that okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Mentioned this verse about Yashasthi Bhakti.
Yes.
There's always a doubt that, because we hear something that we just continue doing bhakti, good qualities will come.
Yes.
The same time we hear that we must cultivate also, try to cultivate good qualities by hearing examples there every day.
Yes.
So what's the proper answer?
There's no contradiction, because if you focus on purifying your heart and becoming a selfless, surrendered devotee, then then automatically those demigods are going to come into your heart. Automatically those qualities will develop because that's where they come from. Bhijam dharma drumasya. Kalyananam nithanam kalimalamatanam pavanam pavananam. All auspiciousness comes from Krishna consciousness only. Therefore, we were discussing apichet sudaracharo, kshipram bhavati dharmatma. He becomes, even if he commits some abominable activity, there's no atonement because it's understood that he's already taken the supreme purifying process. It's just a question of time. Present tense is used, bhavati dharmatma, because he's already purified. He just has to keep it up, and it's a done deal, as we say in English, you see? So there's no contradiction. You don't have to independently of bhakti try to cultivate these qualities, and in fact, even if you do that, it won't work. They only come by the blessings of Srimati Radharani and her representatives. Is that okay? All right. Okay, so one last. Mahendra.
What's the meaning of its name and what is its origin?
The what?
Panchatantra.
Yeah, Panchatantra is one of these like Subhashita collections. It's like Hitopadesh. It's giving ordinary moral instructions, but very valuable. Worldly instructions not only for dharma, but for artha and kama and moksha as well.
What's the meaning of this name, Panch?
Oh, that's been interpreted in different ways. Panchatantra. I don't remember offhand, but I know that there's different ways of looking at it. Mahendra had a question. If the microphone is here, please. Yes.
Arjuna was informed of this, and so he went to see Arjuna in the evening after the battle.
Yes.
He was received very nicely, and what can I do for you? Give me that weapon. And Duryodhana was obliged to surrender that weapon. That's a pretty extreme example. Duryodhana realized that that could be his hands.
That's right. And why did he do that? Because danam ishvara bhavascha. This giving in charity is the sacrosanct principle for the kshatriya. He has to do it. We find throughout our shastras when the kshatriyas promise anything, Bali Maharaj as well, same thing. They promise something in charity, they're not going to take it back. They're going to give it. And it's dharma is in some sense a weakness because you become a little bit vulnerable. In some sense, Shubha Krishna.
I do not understand the answer.
Microphone.
The
way I understand it, according to the way that Govinda understood it, was that Prabhupada is just pointing out, you people are all animals. Just, you know, become human beings and then we can work on Krishna consciousness. Just stop fighting like cats and dogs. This is the idea. That's my understanding. Okay. Enemies? Animals, yes, animals. Yeah. They're all animals. Yeah, because you know, we really ultimately this is human life means we don't see enemies. We become spiritually advanced like Rantidev. All right, we have to stop. It's getting too late. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.